One of the things I do when I talk to producers and agribusiness about that climate-related risk is try and develop some good rules of thumb, things that they could take into account if they're going to do, if they're going to try and manage that risk into the future. And I mean, one of the things that I always start off with is encourage people to get a hold of an accurate set of rainfall records for their location. Just have a look at how variable the rainfall is there. For example, off the top of my head, I think the wettest 12-month period, certainly in terms of rainfall measuring from April to March, because that's our climate year, wettest period, I think, is in the early 1950s, and we had about 940 mil. Driest period, 82-83 El Nino event, when it was down to about 65 mil. So that's a huge spread of rainfall. So making people aware of that, making them understand the risks that poses, and trying to think about how they can develop a robust system that can handle those shifts.
Now, what can producers practically do to get a better handle on things like rainfall, which is the key out here in Western Queensland?
Certainly, my first one is encourage people to stop measuring rainfall on a calendar year. Do it on an autumn to autumn or a financial year. It gives you a better idea of what that full rainfall season and then grass growth season has been like. Second one is also get a more realistic expectation of what rainfall should occur in your location. I know everybody focuses on long-term average or median rainfall as the figure to expect, but from my perspective, having a look to see what you get in 70% of years as a more realistic rainfall figure. Yes, it is lower. Yes, it doesn't sound as good, but it is what you will get more often than not. So trying to build your business based on that lower rainfall figure takes out some of the downside risk. If you do get more rainfall than that, that's great. It may hopefully open up some opportunities for you to do some trading or increase your stocking rate on a shorter term basis. But if you're doing your longer term decision making using the lower rainfall figure, you know, what you're getting 7 times out of 10 rather than what you're getting your average rainfall, I think is a good starting point.
Today you had a lot of ritzy graphs that explain really intimate details about specific areas in things like rainfall. Is this the kind of detail that people need to accurately make a management decision, or is it more important that they have a broader understanding of these kind of things?
I think it's both, and it also comes down to their decision-making process. I mean, at the very least, I encourage them to have a good idea of what actually can occur in their area, how long droughts can go for in that area. And certainly if you look out here, you had a look at that early 30s and 40s period, a really prolonged period of below average rainfall. So getting an idea of what the historical context is. If you do want to use climate information in a more detailed process, actually getting hold of proper rainfall records for your area, categorising them into El Nino, La Nina type years, and seeing what's occurred. I encourage people to do that rather than take a short grab of information off the TV, radio or internet and just running with that. I think if you do want to use it, get hold of what it actually means for your area rather than what's on, for example, social media or wherever.
What can you tell us about the next 3 months and even possibly if we look a bit further into next year, even though I know that that's something that you warn people not to possibly look so far ahead at?
Certainly. So if we have a look at the current three-month outlook, and what won't be a big surprise to anyone is, you know, given the El Nino really negative SOI values, we've got a relatively low chance, you know, less than 30% chance of getting above median rainfall over the coming September, October, November three-month period. It doesn't mean we won't get any rainfall, but the chance of getting big, well above average rainfall events is quite low. In terms of the season ahead, the longer term, whether this El Nino breaks down, keeping in mind El Ninos run autumn to autumn, so we'd be expecting the El Nino sea surface temperature pattern to peak in December and then slowly decay after that. Question is, when we get through to autumn, will we back into a neutral pattern, or will we potentially go into a La Nina pattern, or worst case scenario, will the current El Nino peter on for another 6-9 months? Honestly, don't have the answer to that. However, when we get through January, February next year, we'll have a much better idea of what's likely to occur with it.